Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is an affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from Dale Oliver.
Originally, we're from Birmingham, Alabama. About 30 years ago, right after we moved to Boca Raton, my brother and sister-in-law invited us over, and it was getting dark, and he said, hey, why don't we go to the beach? We got a full moon tonight. And I said, I don't know if I want to go to the beach tonight. He said, sure, we'll make some sandwiches, get a couple of bottles of wine, and go to the beach. And we might even see a turtle. Well, the word wine started making this trip more interesting. So I said, okay, sure, we'll go. And on the way, I thought, oh, going and watching, looking at a turtle. It didn't seem very interesting to me because as a child, I'd had a turtle. And we had him in a bowl on the coffee table, and we would watch him swim around his bowl. It was no big deal. And where I come from, we had turtles in lakes and on the riverbank, and some of these things got big. They got as big as a dinner plate. And so I said, it's not a big deal. He said, oh, come on. So we got there, and we had our dinner and a couple of glasses of wine. And then someone said, look, there's something coming out of the water. And I looked down about 50 yards from us, and there was this huge turtle coming out of the water. And it crawled up onto the beach and started flipping sand. I didn't know what this turtle was doing, but my brother-in-law said, she's building a nest. So she flipped the sand all around, and she started going down in an indention, and then she concentrated on one little area. And then the sand quit flying up in the air, and she got very still. And my brother-in-law said, she's laying her eggs. Wait a minute. So we waited a few minutes, and he said, I got a flashlight. Come on. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Flashlight, turtle eggs, fines, prison sentences, all of this started flashing through my mind that I'd heard on the radio. I said, wait a minute. I don't think we should be doing it. But before I knew it, we were standing over the turtle. This turtle was so big, I don't think two people could stretch their arms around this turtle. But she had made a hole about 8 inches across, 8-10 inches across. It was about 8 to 10 inches deep, a perfect cylinder. And she had started laying her eggs, which looked like ping pong balls. And she had dropped 20, 30, 40, and she was still dropping the eggs into the nest. And so we had pictures taken with the turtle, and she had a magnificent head sticking out of her shell. And my wife looked at her face and said, oh, look, she's crying. And there was tears coming down this turtle's massive face. And my brother-in-law being flippant, he said, oh, that's not tears. That's just where the wind has gotten in her eyes, and she has water in her eyes that protects her eyes while she's on land. And so no big deal. And we watched her lay her eggs, and then my brother-in-law said, all right, come on, we got to get out of here. So we walked back to our place. We watched her cover this nest up, disguise it, and go back to the ocean. And I thought, man, this is something. And my wife said, what day is it? We got to mark this day and then find out when the hatchlings will be born. Now, my wife has these mothering instincts at this time, and these eggs become our own children. So my wife marks the calendar for the days when the eggs would hatch, and we go back up to this place somewhere between Del Rey and Boca Raton, and we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We go up there, and nothing. First couple of mornings, nothing. Then we go up a little late this third or fourth morning, and we can see the hatchlings coming out of the sand, headed towards the ocean. And we stood there and watched these hatchlings make a dash for the ocean. And it was like seeing your children go off to college. Hey, you're on your own now. Go to the ocean. And we stood there and felt like, wow, we're really parents in an empty nest now. And all the hatchlings made it to the ocean. And now when my wife and I will see something on TV about turtles, we'll say, hey, maybe that looks like one of our kids going there.
Dale Oliver with an experience with the turtle.
This was a guy who thought that he knew turtles, and boy, was he surprised.
That's right. He wasn't excited about seeing a turtle on the beach, but boy, that's a memory you don't forget.
One of the things that made me smile was when he was talking about the turtles from his past, and he said, there was one that was as big as a dinner plate. Well, the turtle that he and his wife saw on the beach is probably more the size of a table, small cafe table.
One little thing in the story, when he mentions the turtle's tears, and he humanized those as if the turtle was sad that he was being watched laying these eggs. But
First of all, the turtle was a she, Michael.
Right, yeah, that's right.
But also, and more importantly, more to the point, that was the most beautiful image. And we won't know. Maybe there was pain in childbirth. Who knows? Or maybe it was exactly what the man said that it was. But it was a gorgeous image. And I defy anyone listening to the show who did not picture those tears.
They were very effective because they essentially became those eggs' caregivers for the next month or two.
That's exactly right. And they do say that when something is humanized in that way, particularly around the eyes, we feel very, like puppy eyes, we feel very nurturing toward it. And he gave such wonderful examples of that. You know, the empty nest syndrome was so cute. And the kids going off to college.
Well, this story did happen 30 years ago, and those turtle nests now are quite protected, and you can get arrested if you disturb a turtle in their birth.
I got the feeling that they were very responsible. There's something else I wanted to mention in the story was about the storyteller himself. He said he came from Birmingham, Alabama, to Boca, and I don't know about you, but I find that accent so beautiful and calming. And because this is oral storytelling, we wouldn't hear this if the story were written, at least not in the same way. When he said, Juan, and he drew it out, Juan. I would have said, as a New Yorker, I would have said wine, although I've been in Florida 35 years.
I didn't even notice that, Karen.
Well, Michael, that's why you pay me the big bucks, so that I can pay attention to how people tell stories. And voices, and you have a beautiful radio voice. I have a voice for mime, I've been told. But I am very sensitive to voices, perhaps for that reason. And I just found his telling of the story with his natural accent was quite delightful as well. I just loved listening to him.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. For our listeners who would like to share a South Florida story with us, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has archived stories as well as contact information, wlrn.org. Click radio and the public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal teaches at Florida Atlantic University and is a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The public storyteller returns next Sunday.